Please turn your Bibles to 1 John 2, verse 23 to 29. 1 John 2, verse 23 to 29. John has warned the readers of false teachers. We went over that last week. Counterfeits, not the real thing, concerning the Christian faith. And he calls them antichrists. We went over that last week. And in verse 22, we read, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist and denies the Father and the Son. And we read where there was going to be that antichrist that will come on the scene. And that's still future. There will be the Antichrist in the tribulation period. As we look around at the world today, it's probably not that far away. We're in a day and age where the rapture of the church can come very quickly. We can get into the tribulation period, and all the things it talks about in the tribulation period can happen today. But we Christians, we read last week, we'll be out of here. We'll be raptured to be with the Lord. And so he talked about that Antichrist coming, but then he says there are Antichrists existing today, in the first century and still to today. They're foreshadowing the Antichrist and preparing people for the Antichrist. And we read they are false teachers. That's who they are. Those opposed to Jesus Christ. Antichrist means against Christ. Not just Jesus, against Jesus, but against Christ. The fact that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the holy one, the Messiah. He's against that. And people are against that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, that he's the Messiah, the Christ, the holy one that was to come. And so these are called antichrists, these false teachers, these false religions, these cults, opposed to Jesus being God, the Son of God. You know, people may acknowledge and agree that Jesus Christ lived. And people do. They agree he lived. Some will say he's a great man, a teacher. He said some good things. He was a miracle worker. Went around doing good and things that we should be doing. But just acknowledging that Jesus lived and was isn't enough. See, true faith professes, believes, and abides. We see that word today, abides in Jesus. That means dwells in and lives in. You know, Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. A believer, a disciple, a follower of Christ, doesn't run away or doesn't fall away or go back. They follow Jesus. They abide. And they listen to him. And they run their life according to what he says. That's a follower of Jesus. That's abiding in Jesus. And real believers know that he is the Son of God. That he came, died on the cross for our sin, and he's the anointed one, the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. And John has been addressing young believers. We saw that where he was addressing young believers and old believers, but now he's back to young believers and new believers. You know, in verse 18, when he started this, he said, little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. He says, hey, it's the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, but now many Antichrists have come. He says, little children. So what he's doing is addressing here in this part young believers and young people. Why is he doing that? Because they're very susceptible to being deceived. When you're a new believer, when you're a young person, not in the Word very much, you're game for the enemy. He wants to come and steal that which you have. And we see a lot of young people get ripped off because they don't get into the Word of God and grounded. Like we just sang, grounded in your word. That's how we get grounded, in the word of God. And we're grounded and we're set. And so he's addressing little children, young believers. And we went over verse 18 and 19 last week. And again, it's continuing on with these little children or young people so that they don't fall prey to false doctrine and false teachers. There's a lot out there today. There's humanism out there today that says, hey, we're all one. We all believe in the same God, and we should just love one another. You can love everyone without condoning what they do. Doesn't mean they're right just because they're a loving person. There's a lot of loving people that aren't going to go to heaven because they don't love God. They don't love Jesus Christ. There are a lot of what the world would call good people that aren't going to go to heaven. Because it's not goodness, it's godliness. One O makes a lot of difference. G-O-D, not G-O-O-D. Makes a lot of difference. Now, how does a young believer, a young person, a mature believer, an old person, a true believer know, how do they really know what is truth and what is a lie? How do they know who is a false teacher or a true teacher? How do we know that? What's false doctrine and what's true doctrine? How do they know it? How do we know it? The same way that every believer knows what's true, what's a lie, what's the way. The same way, thank God, the same way. Verse 20 tells us, you have an anointing, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. We have an anointing from God, the Holy Spirit, who has come upon us, and actually the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. The difference, the main difference between people is some are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and as it says in the book of Ephesians, you have been made spiritually alive, and the rest of the people in the world haven't been made spiritually alive and don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why all religions are not the same. Even those that profess Christianity or to know Jesus or just talk about him, the one thing they don't have because they're not born again is the Holy Spirit. And they believe he's a created being, Jesus. See, we have an anointing from the Holy One. How do we know the truth? Because I read a lot of books? Because I got smart one day? No, because I was born again and the Holy Spirit came upon me and indwelt me, and he teaches me all things. And it says, you know all things, and you're probably saying, I don't know all things. You see, the Holy Spirit teaches us and testifies of Jesus Christ, and we know truth, all truth. In context here, it's talking about knowing the things that matter. We know truth, and that Jesus is the Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, to young believers, immature believers, old believers, a Christian, when they are born again, they're indwelt with the Holy Spirit at time of conversion. The good news is that you can trust them out in the world if they're abiding in Christ, because they're going to know truth and they're going to know lie if they're born again. At time of conversion. We were sharing that Sunday how the best thing that you can give your children, that you can have yourself, that you could give to anybody else, is Christianity. And the best thing a person can attain in life is to be born again, because you can't always babysit people and make sure they're doing the right thing. But if they're born again, you can quit your job as the babysitter. Isn't that wonderful? You can trust them out there because of this verse. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things concerning truth. I'm not going to know all of math and science and this. I'm going to know all things concerning the truth of the Spirit, things of spiritual nature. The good news is we all receive the Holy Spirit at time of conversion. And that's, God did that so that we could discern between a lie and truth. And the key to growing and knowing is to be abiding and living in Christ and not to be in the world anymore. You see, when a child is born, when a baby is born, usually, generally, normally, when a baby is born, how are they born? They're born with all they need to exist in the world from day one. The arms, the legs, the mouth, the eyes, everything. They're born. We're born again. We can compare it. They're born with everything they need to live here. We're born again with everything we need, the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens with that child? They have all they need. They just need to grow, to mature. And those arms get bigger. Those legs get bigger. You get bigger. You get stronger. But you were born with it. Just like we're born again with the Holy Spirit. A born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit, but needs to grow and grow and grow. And the key is to be abiding in Christ and growing. Let's turn to John 14, please. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad we have a Helper? From day one, we have a Helper. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. There it is. Jesus said that. Just what John said. He's going to teach us all things. We're going to know all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Look at John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit comes as our Helper, and he teaches us all things, and his purpose is to testify of Jesus the Christ. That's how we're going to know all truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we know that. And so we can fight off false teachers and deceivers and cults and everything else. When I became a Christian, something happened to me. I started to know the truth. And as people would share other things, I knew they weren't right. You have this feeling, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but you just, that's not right. Did you ever hear something or someone on the radio or hear something and you're saying to yourself, there's something wrong with that. And you can't put your finger on it. But then you hear more and they reveal themselves usually. But you have that warning, the Holy Spirit. Hey, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. You have that Helper. We believers have this help, which the world doesn't have, the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, God, and has anointed us is God. He has anointed us, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We're guaranteed what we know, that we're going to go to heaven, that our sins are forgiven. How do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. God has sealed us, given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We just know these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. But we Christians have these good things revealed to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So how do we know truth? How do we know these things? By the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. I don't know about you, but before I was a Christian, I don't know if I ever opened up the Bible except looked once or twice in that family, those big family Bibles you have on the coffee table. Never even understood what it said. But once I was a Christian, it was like, wow, I know what that means. Or this is really good and it's true. So back to our text, verse 20. You and I, we have this anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. We don't have perfect, complete knowledge, but we have the capacity to know what is true and what is a lie. We know truth, all things concerning truth. We can know what are false teachers and false teaching, and what are teachers who are teachers gifted from God and are teaching truth. We know that. We can tell. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy One, the Anointed One. Now, you and I have been in that place where we hear something and say, oh, that doesn't seem right. Then we need to listen to the Spirit of God. And even if we don't know why it feels this way or seems this way, we've got to trust the Spirit and not listen to those people. But God does give the gift of teaching to people. We read in Ephesians, he's given pastors and teachers to build up the body of Christ. God has his teachers, but they better have the gift from the Holy Spirit to teach. Because if they don't, they can give us false information based on feelings or their thoughts. But God has his teachers and he gives them the gift of teaching. But it will be the Holy Spirit of God working through that teacher, through that vessel. And he'll always be pointing people to Jesus, the Christ, and glorifying God. Always. Never to themselves. And they will be teaching from God's word so that they're just mouthpieces. God using to speak truth. And then the Holy Spirit takes that truth and helps you to understand it. Helps me to understand it. I'm amazed at how many times I prepare a message and I'm learning. Because I thought I knew it all. Just kidding. But I mean, I'm amazed how many times I'll be prepared for teaching. I'm amazed at how many times while I'm teaching that God is teaching me. It's amazing. So it shows it's not me. Because while I'm doing it, he's teaching me. Isn't that odd? He's just doing it. And you get to hear it too. It's amazing. That's all I ever want to be. I pray that every day. Just a mouthpiece, a vessel. I don't want to be other than that. Because then God, I wouldn't be getting any teaching. But I get it because I'm allowing God to do that. You just pray that it's always just from God. Verse 21. And he says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. It's like saying, you know these things. I'm not telling you this because you don't know it. Did you ever have someone counsel you or talk to you and share some scripture and say, I knew that, but I wasn't doing it. You see? And that's what he's saying. I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth. You know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. He says, I'm just encouraging you in true doctrine, reminding you that there's no lies in the truth. Don't listen to anyone that comes along and give some false doctrine and start questioning yourself and saying, well, are they right and am I wrong? Don't do that. If you know truth and you backed it up by scripture, don't let someone come along and change you. Yeah, but so-and-so, this pastor said that. Well, then let God deal with that pastor or that so-and-so. But he's saying, you know the truth. And you know, there's not going to be any lies in the truth. So if someone comes along and contradicts this, don't believe it, because you know the truth. But we can question ourselves. You know, when you want to follow the Lord, we do question ourselves at times. Well, is this God or is this me? Or is this God's will or not God's will? Or am I really believing the right thing? That's okay, because we should. You know, if Paul says examine yourself, then others won't have to examine you. We should continually check ourselves, but don't contradict the truth. Sometimes it's just feeling or Satan attacking, trying to deceive you. But always go back to what you know to be the truth and the Word of God and just say, oh, that's okay. You know, that person's wrong. I know the truth. But, and he's just reminding them in verse 22, who is a liar? Who are these liars, these false teachers? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Who are these liars, these false teachers? Those people that would deny the deity of Jesus Christ being the Messiah. They deny the Son, and actually they deny the Father. They really don't know God. Because Jesus is part of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You deny Jesus being the Christ, you're denying God. He says, you're a liar who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he denies the Father and the Son. John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. You know what Jesus said here? I and my Father are one. You can't separate the Father and the Son. Say, I want to believe that, but not this. He says, I and the Father are one. Look at John 14, verse 9. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, you can't separate the Father and the Son. Back to our text, verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. And he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As we know, the Father sent the Son. So if you acknowledge that, you really do know God and you know Jesus. But if you don't, if you deny Jesus, then you don't even know the Father either. You don't know Father God. You can't separate them. Jesus is not a created being. Those who deny the facts in the Bible don't really know God. John chapter 5, verse 22. And it's interesting, we're studying 1 John, same writer as the Gospel of John. A lot of things are backed up in the Gospel of John. John 5, verse 22. John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So these people that say we serve the same God, but they don't honor Jesus as the Christ, they don't know God. We don't have the same faith. We don't believe in the same God. It says right there, if you honor the Son, you honor the Father. You see, we born-again Christians are different. We're unique. We have a very narrow faith, Jesus Christ. We're different. We believe in Jesus the Christ. Verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you, that truth, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. The word abide now, which we see a lot, means to stay. Stay, to remain with the truth you heard from the beginning. Abide means to live in, stay attached to. And what he's saying, if you stay with the truth, you abide in the Lord, you will be right with God the Father, and you'll be right with Jesus the Son. Abide in truth, and you abide in God. There's nothing new. He's saying, stay with what you have. Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. What you heard from the beginning, you stay put with that. Abide in that. And then you will abide in the Son and the Father. You'll be right with God. There's no new thing. We're told that in a few places in the Bible. Jesus cried, it is finished. The work of redemption. Dr. Ironside, he has many commentaries. He said, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. That's it. And that's what he's saying here. If it's new, then it's not true. It's not like God says, well, in the year 2000 and something, I'm going to develop this new thing. No, I get really scared when I see people say that. There's no new thing. There's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the way to salvation. And there's God, our Creator Father. And God does what he desires through the work of the Holy Spirit through people and in people. We are in no position to tell the Spirit what to do or what God to do today. Just because we're in the year 2000s. That's all up to God. All we do is respond. I always think of the first church. They had absolutely no idea who the Holy Spirit was. Yet he was poured out upon them and they began to speak in tongues. People set up meetings to try and speak in tongues. They didn't do that in the first church. The Holy Spirit just did it. There's no programs or things you have to do. God is going to do what he's going to do when he wants to do it. We just wait on the Lord. Pray that if you want to do something, pour out your Spirit upon us tonight, Lord, go ahead. And just let us respond. He says, abide, stay put in what you know. No. Why? Verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. The promise that we have by staying in the truth, just in Jesus, we have eternal life. That's great. We've all known people that have believed that have died. They're with the Lord. Isn't that great? They're getting the promise, eternal life. We're going to get it. We have it. We have eternal life. What more could we ask for? Stay with the truth. Nothing new to seek here. Abide in Jesus. Ask God to do his work the way he wants to do it. But what a deal. Just by staying in the truth, what we know, we're going to gain eternal life in heaven. That's a good deal. But we test everything by the word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, your word is truth. Our end is eternal life in heaven. Those not in Christ spend eternity in a place called hell or Gehenna. It's so bad it's called death. Heaven sounds better. Verse 26. These things I have written to you, O concerning those who try to deceive you. Apparently there were these false teachers and deceivers that had come out of the church there that were really trying to lead people astray. He wrote to warn them to flee these teachers who are against Christ. He says they're trying to take you away, to deceive you and draw you away from Jesus. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. We have the Holy Spirit. And you do not need that anyone teach you. Doesn't mean we don't listen to teachers of God's word, because that's who expounds on the word of God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit takes that and teaches us. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You believe the work of the Spirit in you, you will abide in the Lord and in the truth. As we read in John 15, he's our helper, the Holy Spirit, and he testifies of Jesus. Of course we'll keep abiding in Jesus if we listen to the Holy Spirit, because he comes to do that, to testify of Jesus. So he says, you'll be in the truth. You'll be abiding in the Lord. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And we have vessels God gives to teach. And we have the Holy Spirit teaches a born-again believer how to use that. Helps us recognize a lie. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Just stay. Continue in him. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Stay where you're supposed to be. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. So that when he appears, and he's going to appear to the church and rapture us soon, we pray, so that when he does appear, we will have confidence and not be ashamed. But we'll be found doing the right thing, believing in him, led by the Holy Spirit. You see, a believer can find themselves in a very shameful situation or a place of angry at the Lord or denying the Lord. And also remember, there are rewards in heaven based on faithfulness. We want to stay faithful to the Lord. We don't want to be ashamed. You know, people backslide, they get into sin. What a horrible place to be. Be ashamed at the Lord's coming. Here's how it works. One can be acceptable, but ashamed. A parent who has gone out, say the parents have gone out, they're not home. But they come back home to surprise the son who didn't expect them yet. And maybe in a shameful situation, but still a son, accepted, but in a bad place. That's what he's telling them. And verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, then we do, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. We know God is righteous, Jesus is righteous. We know that as believers. We know all that he does is right. We may not understand things at times, but God is always right. He's righteous. He's righteous in saving us because as a sinner, our debt has been paid. He's righteous in doing that. But then we practice righteousness by the Holy Spirit. We do what's right according to God. We live right so that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. We're not saved by living right. It demonstrates that we are born again believers by living right. Because we practice, we get that word practice. That means this is your lifestyle. You practice righteousness. You do the right thing. We're imitators of the Lord. And we have chosen to live a lifestyle that practices righteousness. It's not what saves us. It's what demonstrates we are saved, that we're practicing it. And just the opposite is true. If a person doesn't, it proves they're not. Let's end with these verses, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those, here's that word practice again, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we read, if you practice righteousness, you're living right, it proves you're going to inherit heaven. But if a person is practicing, that means this is your lifestyle, this is what you do in life, this is the what you chase after or what you're involved in. It's not a one-time sin which you repent of and you get right with God. It's this is the lifestyle. These things are evident in your life. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, our lifestyle demonstrates whether we're a believer or not a believer. And the Holy Spirit will always point us to be following Jesus, and it demonstrates we're a believer. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we always remain teachable, that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead us, teach us into all truth. We pray we're never misled by deceit or false teachers or things that people proclaim that are not of you. We pray we would have a simple faith, that foundation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God to grow with, and the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's all we need, Lord. As we have that and do that, we will inherit eternal life in heaven. We thank you for that. Tonight, Lord, as we worship you now, have your Holy Spirit fall upon us and help us, Lord, to just sing out to you. Acknowledge you and who you are. And we pray, Lord, that we would be open to the work of God in us. Share with us things that you want us to know. Help us in all that we're going through right now. And Lord, our desire is to be closer to you, to be spiritually fit for your use, to be ready for anything you have for us. So while we're worshiping now, speak in a powerful way. Touch us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.